think there's also then, you know, what happens because you make the choice to walk, that there is also this deeper connection to a sense of place. And I think that's something that maybe is more on this like subconscious level that's happening. Maybe you're not going out on a walk with that intention to kind of ground yourself. I think some people do, and I think that's beautiful and wonderful. But I think it's almost a byproduct of just being able to go outside.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Your host today, Marty Jones, and my guest today, Maddie Allborn, SLV GO's Development and Communications Coordinator. As always, we want to thank Don Richmond for the music that you hear and Daniel Boyce for the bird songs that you hear on this podcast. Maddie, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. It's good to have you back in the studio. You've been a host on this podcast before.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, when we were doing some of the bicycling stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sometimes I forget about the narration work that like my voice is in other aspects of, you know, the digital landscape.
Well, we are really pleased to have you as a guest today to talk about hiking, a little bit more about what the SLV Great Outdoors and the Great Outdoors Goats have been up to this summer. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the Tin Can Camp. We know that the 5280 magazine recently published a story, and they've used some of your photos on that. So we want to talk a little bit about that later on. Let's start with this, though. I know you're an avid hiker and bicyclist. And what are some of your favorite SLV hiking trails?
Well, Marty, I think especially in the fall seasons, with the changing of the colors and kind of stepping into being a leaf peeper, as, you know, folks kind of call themselves, that they go out specifically to see the change in foliage.
We do.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think Middle Frisco, just out towards Del Norte, is probably one of my favorite trails, and it's very popular around this time of year because of all the aspens. My friend Katie, she says that if you're lucky, you'll get a full yellow brick road as some of the leaves are starting to fall, and right because the yellow aspen leaves just cover the trail, and it's just sort of this magical experience.
It's Oz-like.
Oz-like, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But also in that kind of same area, just the parallel trail is West Frisco. It's more known for motorized users, brings you up to the top of Bennett, and then you can also have access to Silver Mountain and Windy Peak. But that kind of area is just really beautiful. And you can access those mountains as well, not just from Middle Frisco and West Frisco trails, but also on the other side of the mountain range going towards Comstock Campground and passing, following that road all the way up to the other trailhead for the Silver Mountain. I think like proper trailhead is on that side. So yeah, those are really beautiful areas that I've explored.
Yeah, my wife and a friend of hers just did Middle Frisco maybe 3 weeks ago, I believe, and it's a beautiful hike.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And Middle Frisco, I mean, also if you're a hiker, there are also mountain bikers on that trail as well. So, you know, just keep your senses about you as you walk or hike on, you know, some of these multimodal trails. I've also seen horseback riders up there as well, so just having a sense of trail etiquette as well.
Any drives that you like to take? Sometimes the leaf peepers in the fall like to drive someplace and then maybe hike from a trailhead too.
Yeah, I've been up to Platoro Reservoir, driving up that way, and also going up Coombers Pass, so visiting some different parts of the Continental Divide Trail. Along that area is also really beautiful. And, You know, as we talk about like the leaves changing, I feel like some people are like, oh, it's always hit or miss going out. But I just learned about this new weather website called opensnow.com. Brian Pucciarella, who also works for SLV Go with the SLV Generation Wild Coalition, they have a new layer on there. It's called the Fall Color Map. So you can kind of map out, like, throughout the state where, like, when the peak season for the fall colors to be showing themselves. And so when we looked at it this morning before I came over here, he was showing me this website, and he's like, yeah, so it looks like this weekend is going to be the peak weekend to go out and see the fall colors. So just for all you listeners out there, if you have plans to travel to other places, maybe think about sticking around the SLV to see colors changing in the San Juan Range and then also in the Sangre de Cristos.
I know that my wife and I had to take a friend to the airport in Colorado Springs on Sunday, and the leaves are changing up on top of La Vida Pass.
Mm-hmm. It's happening. Yeah.
It's happening. There's even some leaves changing color down here on the valley floor.
It's starting. We can definitely feel it in the mornings and the evenings with the cooler temperatures, too. And just with how much rain we've had, I'm like, I wonder if this is going to hold out for winter, too. Like, are we going to get an early winter with some snow? What is that going to look like? But I've also heard from one of the newest member of the Great Outdoors Action Team, or the GOATs, right, as we call them. His name's Clay, and he did some hiking up in Creed this past weekend. And, yeah, he was sharing with me that, well, not with me, he told his wife, and then his wife talked to me, and she was just like, yeah, he's never been in a more beautiful place, and all the leaves were starting to change up there. And, you know, he was wondering why leaves starting, like, they're not changing in the valley yet, but, you know, just different areas and different elevations and factors that all play into the changing of the seasons.
Yeah, the different temperatures. I mean, we've not had a hard frost yet. Here it is already mid-September, no hard frost. Mm-hmm. That's great for our tomatoes and peppers and things of that sort in the garden. But it's time or past time for there to be a hard freeze.
Right, right. I mean, in other places too, speaking to the Sangre de Cristo Range, I've also had really great, you know, experiences up out of Crestone, like North Crestone Lake, South Crestone Lake, Willow Lake. Those are definitely some bigger days if you hike all the way up to the lakes, you know, anywhere between 10 to 12 miles round trip. And it's very steep.
It's a sangre hike.
It's a sangre hike for sure. But also, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the trail app that I use when I'm exploring, like, where I want to go next. The Colorado Trail Explorer, or also known as Cotrex, is a really great and free resource for people to check out the surrounding area and what trails are there. It's often updated, too, with trail closures, or if there's maintenance happening, whether it's on BLM land or Forest Service land. So just a shout out there if people are wondering, because there are so many platforms to use, right? There's like Gaia and Onyx and 14ers.com and
All Trails.
And All Trails, yeah, right.
There's just a variety.
Yeah.
But that sounds like a good one, the one that you're using. I like free. Free is good.
Free is good, yeah. And, I mean, I'm not ever settled on just one app that I use. There are times I'll reference All Trails, but then there are also times that I'll reference, like, 14ers.com to look at a different approach to, you know, a 14er. But they also have, like, 13ers on there, too. It's not just for those high hitters who are trying to get into alpine terrain, which we are, yeah, it's getting to the ending of that season to go up into the alpine,
right?
Depending on your experience level. But for me, I'm like, okay, it's not time to go up there anymore.
You know, we were talking just a little bit about the drives you mentioned, going up to Platoro. One of the drives that we like to take and then do some short hikes from these areas in the Creed area, if you go up to Hanson's Mill And that's on the way to the Wheeler Geologic Area.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful views from there. And then if you're really willing to drive a little bit farther, going up towards Slumgullion Pass and North Clear Creek Falls, just some beautiful scenery up there. And relatively, well, easy to moderate hikes off, mm-hmm. off any of those drives.
Yeah, North Clear Creek Falls is, I think I've only been there once in the summertime or the fall. I generally go in the winter because that's when the waterfall's frozen and you can climb it. That's, well, yeah, I've been there a handful of times with different climbing partners and mm-hmm. going to explore.
Yeah, beautiful area. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean for a community to have access to not only local in-town trails, but access to mountain trails?
I think it means so much more than how we typically think about outdoor recreation. I think there is relationship and connection that we get as primal beings into our surrounding environment in the natural world, kind of on a bigger, like more holistic level of how we spend time outside. But I think also to have a trail in town or just adjacent to town that you don't need a vehicle to drive to, I think it breaks down a lot of barriers for people to be able to have that experience without the burden of needing a vehicle to get somewhere. And yeah, really just to be able to have, like, you know, this activation of open space.
There's a healing involved, I think, a healing of your soul, a healing of your body, your overall well-being is enhanced by being able to get on trails. And I really like the point you made about not having to drive everywhere to get on trails.
Mm-hmm.
We are fortunate in the San Luis Valley, in the communities, Monte Vista, Del Norte, Alamosa, San Luis, all of those have trails that you can access just from in town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a huge benefit for residents and visitors, right? That you don't have to, like, drive from point A to point B to get to point C or whatever it is. I think there's also then, you know, what happens because you make the choice to walk, that there is also this deeper connection to a sense of place. And I think that's something that maybe is more on this, like, subconscious level that's happening. Maybe you're not going out on a walk with that intention to kind of ground yourself. I think some people do, and I think that's beautiful and wonderful. But I think it's almost a byproduct of just being able to go outside. And in my role too, right, I'm the development communications coordinator for SLV Go. I think that's kind of a fancy title for grant writer or, like, the storyteller, a little bit of the archivist. So I like to kind of pull all these different things in and write as a grant writer, right, that's just formulaic storytelling about, like, the work that we do and the impact that we have on our communities that we work with. But measuring someone's, like, improvement in their mental health, right? Like, that can't be really done in a survey. Like, so how do we, like, talk about the impact that we make, whether it's going out on a bike ride on, you know, on a gravel trail or just, you know, walking the mom trail every day? Or going out to Blanca Vista Park, right, and doing that loop. The Levee Trail has become, like, my new lunch walk with my dog, Marley.
Yeah.
And she loves it, and it really is a way. I leave my phone in the car. It's a way to disconnect from all the noise and all of the, I need to do this or I should do that, and it really just lets me separate from it. So, yeah, really coming up with these, and I think sharing these stories, right, like even through the Outdoor Citizen podcast and bringing guests in to talk about their work, I often utilize, like, this podcast, like, in our grant writing proposals, because I'm like, we are capturing these stories, like, lives are being changed because trails exist, you know, whether that's, like, a 15-minute walk on your lunch break or after work. And my colleague Annie and I, who does active transportation, she lives in Monta Vista as well. And we've been going on these evening walks together, whether it's, you know, we meet up at the Skeff Trail or, you know, like we meet up at the Church Project and walk around town from there. But yeah, I have learned so much more about Monta Vista in the last probably 2 weeks than I have living there the last 2 years, because I've just started walking more, like for fun, not really for intentional exercise. I mean, maybe a little bit for Marley, just so she can get a good walk in after a day at the office or whatever. But yeah, and, you know, I'm meeting like new neighbors, like, yeah, just people who I don't think I would ever stop to talk to if I was in a vehicle, right, with my windows rolled up and I'm just focusing on driving.
Sure, because you're moving too fast to be able to stop and visit with people. That's a great thing about 2 to 3 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can, there, you have.
I could go off on a whole tangent about Jonathan Stahl's in his book Walk, or another book that I had lent Owen Woods, the producer of this podcast, not too long ago, called Outside Lies Magic. But it talks a lot about kind of this sense of place and this act of slowing down and how much more you can take in and how much more you can see when you slow down.
And SLV Go has been very involved in all these projects that you're talking about, the Skeff Trail, the Levy Trails, the Rio Inspire Trail, mm-hmm. Oxbow Trail, Malm Trail, the one down in San Luis, all of that. What kind of trail projects have you guys been working on this summer?
Well, I know there's been a lot of focus on these community trails and kind of maintaining them as well, right? Because the SLV has seen so much rain this summer.
Oh, yes.
And especially over the last 2 months, that the growth of, you know, foliage and weeds has just been outstanding. So there have been a few new members of the Great Outdoor Action Team that have been hired for, you know, seasonal positions, which is really great. And, you know, growing the team. And on one of the Levy trails, there is a new boardwalk that's going in, I think, in our...
Yeah, it's on the Rio Inspire Trail.
On the Rio Inspire Trail. Some, I always get those trail systems confused in my head. I know how to get there. I just don't always know what it's called.
Yeah.
And then they've also, they wrapped up trail improvements on Cherry Creek Trail as well in the earlier part of the season. So they were in higher terrain. And there was, it was kind of a fun story around that. So Raleigh Burt of Christy Mountain Sports, and yeah, now Katie Burt, they just recently got married. They were just out on a hike and they ran into the goat crew that was working on that trail. So it was just cool, right? It's kind of the other special place that the goats have is this like user contact, right? So they get to interact with people who are out walking or hiking or on their bikes, just to say hi, like, hey, this is who we are and this is what we do. And
And it's fun for us hikers or bicyclists to see someone who's out working and improving and making our lives better, mm-hmm. by doing the trail maintenance or improving the trails.
Yeah. And I know they've done, I was reading, I think it was last month, there were like over 300 trees that they had to clear with crosscut saws, meaning like they sawed them by hand, like no chainsaws.
Yeah.
So
was that up in a wilderness area?
I believe so.
Yeah, because you can't, you're not supposed to use motorized, mechanized equipment up right in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked a little bit about some of the hiking trails that you enjoy and leaf peeping areas and things of that sort. I'd like to switch gears just a little bit and have you talk about Tin Can Camp. Some of our listeners have heard of this in the past. We've talked about it kind of in a peripheral sense, but maybe you can give us a little more update on what's happening.
Yeah, so Tin Can Camp, its name came because, when they first went out to tour the area on this BLM land, there were just a bunch of old tin cans around. So it was kind of a nickname at first, and then it just stuck, which I love origin stories, so I feel like I'll start there. But it was a really collaborative process in how Tin Can Camp came to be, in part with our partnership with the Bureau of Land Management, or BLM, and then also with the State Land Board. There are opportunities that the State Land Board will lease land to organizations like SLVGO with creative initiatives that's going to help better the economy locally, right? And then also Tin Can Camp is going to be, or is, a revenue stream for the organization to help balance out, right, this unexpected grant landscape that lots of organizations are dealing with, you know, no funder is forever.
Sure.
Something we talk about a lot, and that's okay, right? And but in order to support the longevity of SLVGO as an organization and as a coalition building organization, among so many other things that we do, it's important to have those external or separate revenue streams. So Tin Can Camp began with that kind of idea in mind. And so they are five micro cabins that are off-grid, solar-powered. They do have a propane stove and also an incinerating toilet, which means there's no water involved, right? And really being mindful of building something because it's on a 10-year lease. After the 10 years is done, if we don't want to renew the lease to continue the project, theoretically, once everything is disconnected, like the plumbing for the propane and whatnot, we could use a forklift and pick up these cabins and put them on the back of a truck and sell them or move them, or and then the land would be reclaimed like nothing ever happened.
Right, right. Would you remind our listeners of where Tin Can Camp is?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So it's just adjacent to Penitente Canyon. There is a connector trail from the Los Hermanos Trail that goes all the way around Penitente Canyon. And yeah, so you drive through like the small village of La Garita to get there. When you head north out of Monta Vista, the Gun Barrel, and then it's just at the foothills of the San Juans.
How can people access, or how can people make reservations to stay at Tin Can Camp?
Yeah, so we're currently listed on hipcamp.com, which is an online platform where you can make a reservation, and also Airbnb, which is, we recently added Tin Can Camp on that online platform just for more exposure. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily consider it like glamping. Like you see like different yurts around, and opportunities like this are kind of popping up all across the San Luis Valley, whether it's like the Frontier Drive-In for that kind of yurt glamping experience. And you go and watch a, you know, movie at the old drive-in as part of your stay. It's a very different experience. You have to bring your own water, for one. The sink that are in the cabins, they do have a pump with them, so you just fill a jug that lives under the sink. And yeah, I mean, it's a kind of a pack it in, pack it out still kind of situation, but it is a more stable and comfortable shelter, you know, if you still wanted to have that like more outdoor experience, whether that's, you know, visiting geological or historical sites out near Penitente Canyon and really taking in all of the, you know, cultural beauty that's there, or rock climbing or mountain biking or hiking and all of those different natural resources and those amenities that exist in that area. And then, yeah, Tin Can Camp is just kind of this small oasis that, you know, you can rent to stay for a night or a weekend, and every dollar that goes into that is actually supporting the conservation of that area too, which I think would make anyone feel good about staying in an Airbnb.
It's always nice to be able to have a way to stay dry in the event of a big storm that's coming up. That's a good thing about the Tin Can Camp.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether it's rustic. You'll be able to get in out of the weather.
Right, exactly. And that's kind of the yeah, a big aspect of it. But don't anticipate on bringing, you know, like a giant RV and like hook up to, you know, however many watts of power from, you know, the solar panel that's attached to the roof. I mean, if you have a camera that you need to charge, or a laptop if you want to work remotely, or, you know, like charging your cell phone or something like that, I mean, that the solar energy that's there will accommodate those things, but it's not designed to, you know, come and bring a 24-inch TV or, I don't know, a game console kind of thing, you know.
You mentioned that it's on HipCamp. Is there, by any chance, a link from the SLV Go website to find out about reservations?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So www.slvgo.com/tincancamp.
There you go, folks.
That's how you find us.
So, Maddie, I have one more question for you, but I want to give you a chance to give us any more information about hiking in the valley or other activities that you've been up to and that SLV Go has been up to.
Well, in the changing of the seasons and everything, and no matter where you go out and hike, just to make sure that you go prepared, because anything can happen, right, in the outdoors. Meaning, like, do you have your 10 essentials in your day pack? Like, thinking about what kind of footwear you're wearing. Do you have an extra layer of clothes? Especially with how incoming storms are happening. And I say all these things because I also am a volunteer for the local search and rescue team. And I think it's really important that the more education we can provide, we're actually providing the sort of preventative search and rescue, right? Through education and through talking about, like, you know, even if you're just going, oh, it's only 2 miles going up the side of this hillside, things can still happen. Accidents still happen. So I'll leave that there just to make sure everyone knows to go prepared no matter where they like to adventure. And yeah, well, other places, you know, like Rito Seco down in San Luis is another initiative with SLV Go, and the goats have worked, you know, to make that trail system happen, and in collaboration with, yeah, Costilla County and San Luis. And that's also a beautiful place to go, and I don't think there's as much talk about that trail system, but it really is beautiful. And then, yeah, like I said, the Crestone Lakes, I just can't get enough of them.
We are surrounded by beauty.
It's very true.
You know, everywhere you go, it doesn't matter. 360 degrees around Alamosa, you can find something that will spark your curiosity and satisfy your inner soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, SLV Go has really, you know, been up to a lot. I mean, we're a very busy organization, and, you know, we just applauded Patrick Ortiz on his next journey. Though we'll miss him, you know, very dearly, as our operations director and helping to lead the goats, and, you know, he's been with the organization really since the very beginning with McDaniel. Yeah, we're also very excited to know that he's in this. I don't even know his official title, but he works with Senator Hickenlooper as the San Luis Valley representative. Maybe that's his title. But yeah, knowing that there is advocacy, right, for our 8,000 square mile region of beauty that we live in, to make sure that we can stay in a proactive state, to provide infrastructure for, right, the influx of visitors, for more people moving here. And I think that's something that SLV Go is in a really unique position to help move forward, is this aspect of proactivity.
Right, being thoughtful and being certain that we have the resources necessary to keep the valley the valley.
Right.
We don't want to turn into another Denver. We don't want to turn into a big megalopolis. I don't think we have any danger of that, but it's good that SLV Go is on the forefront.
Yeah, and really, you know, trying to be that bridge with the, and listen to the community too, And every community that, you know, we begin working with or that reaches out to us to say advice, like, you've done this in this community, can we do something like this here? Even up in Sawatch right now, some plans are being made and moving around Vista Grande, a property that was purchased back in 2010, 2012 with GoCo funds. And then an initial plan was made. And now they're starting to put together a steering committee, which then will lead community engagement throughout the fall and winter. But essentially, it's to build and develop recreation infrastructure on this piece of land that shares a boundary line with BLM property to then create a whole new set of trail systems in the northern part of the valley for Sawatch County. But all of these things, right, like SLV Go builds pathways to connect, right? Yes, our physical trails, but also the way in which we communicate with residents of the San Luis Valley, and very much so residents who live here full time, because there are people who come and go, and yes, their voices matter, but those folks who endure the long winters that we have, I mean, I think you hold a little bit more stake in your community when you're here all the time.
I agree. Well, Maddie, thank you so much for joining us. We've been talking with Maddie Alborn, SLV Great Outdoors Development and Communications Coordinator. And we'll be right back with our string of outdoor conditions and news, as well as some upcoming events after this brief sponsor break.
Are you craving adventure? Step back in time with the entire family aboard the Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad. Discover breathtaking mountain views and savor the historic charm on the longest and highest steam railroad in America. Feel the thrill of history come alive as you ride along the same tracks laid in 1880. All aboard for the 2024 season. Trains depart Tuesday through Sunday from Antonito, Colorado and Chama, New Mexico. Antonito train station is located just 30 miles south of Alamosa. Book today at CumbresToltec.com or call 888-286-2737.
Welcome back. Sunday, September 22nd is the first official day of fall, but we think late summer into early fall is the perfect time for a hike. The weather is great, the fall leaves are starting to show their colors, and it's best to enjoy the warmth while it's still here. If you get out, we'd like to hear about it. We hope you'll join in and tell us through a video or a simple email where your favorite fall hikes might be. Send your correspondence to info@alamosacitizen.com. We'll mail you back one of our Alamosa Citizen bandanas when you do. And now for some news. Alamosa Citizen has been checking in on the storage levels of the unconfined aquifer of the upper Rio Grande Basin. The news isn't good. In fact, it's downright scary. The unconfined aquifer is registering its lowest annual storage marks since the Rio Grande Water Conservation District began measuring the depths of the unconfined aquifer some 20 years ago. The unconfined aquifer storage is at its lowest levels despite a constant strategy of reducing groundwater pumping and the fallowing of agricultural fields over the past decade. It is very concerning, said Craig Cotton, division engineer for the Colorado Division of Water Resources, especially given that Subdistrict Number 1, under its current plan, has just 7 more years in which to recover the unconfined aquifer to a sustainable level. If the aquifer has not recovered by then, and if the subdistrict is still operating under its current groundwater management plan, he said, then the state engineer will have no choice but to curtail all of the non-exempt wells in this area. That would result in the shutting down of nearly 2,000 irrigation wells in one of the most productive irrigated farming areas of the state. Alamosa Citizen will continue to track this development. There's been quite a bit of gray wolf news these past few weeks. In the latest, Colorado's next group of 15 wolves will be sourced from British Columbia, Canada. On September 13th, CPW announced it would be working with the BC Minister of Water, Lands, and Resource Stewardship to capture 15 wolves between December 2024 and March 2025. The operation will begin in full this winter. CPW staff will be on site in Canada alongside Canadian authorities to safely capture and evaluate the wolves. They will be treated for any diseases on site, and each animal will have to fit within the required criteria for translocation. Once the wolves are captured, the wolves will be transported to Colorado either by plane or truck and be released in the selected sites north of I-70 pretty much as soon as they arrive. They want to limit the wolves' time in captivity. These Canadian gray wolves are genetically identical to both the Oregon wolves from last year's release and the gray wolf that was once native to Colorado. Wolves from this area in Canada have been used in Yellowstone introductions. A California condor was shot and killed in Colorado in late March. CPW and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service are asking for the public's help in identifying the person or people responsible for poaching the endangered bird. The condor was killed in a remote area in Montezuma County near the town of Lewis and the McPhee Reservoir. California condors are listed as a critically endangered species under the Endangered Species Act and Migratory Bird Treaty Act. There are just 560 of those birds in the entire United States. Those with information are encouraged to call the CPW Operation Game Thief hotline at 1-877-265-6648, or you can send an email to game.thief@state.co.us, or you can submit a tip through the CPW website. You can also submit information to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service by calling 844-397-8477 or by submitting a tip through the Fish and Wildlife Service website. A reward may become available for information that leads to a successful prosecution of the responsible parties. Requests for confidentiality and anonymity will be respected to protect those who come forward. 2 weeks ago, we talked with India Wood about her hike from Monte Vista to San Luis, roughly 69 miles. Well, she did it. And we caught up with her afterwards to hear from her. You can read our interview with India on alamosacitizen.com, and we hope that maybe it inspires you to get outside. As summer turns to fall, the Colorado Department of Transportation is reminding drivers to anticipate additional traffic in the high country over the next few weekends as people head out to see the autumn leaves. Mountain roads see increased traffic when the aspens begin turning to red and gold, so drivers and photo takers standing and walking along roadways need to watch out for each other. Be a smart leaf peeper with the following tips. Beware of other vehicles that may be traveling at lower speeds. Watch for vehicles pulling off the roadways and vehicles parked along the roadside. Find safe, designated areas to park. Drivers, be aware of pedestrians. People will be out of their vehicles, often taking photos. Pedestrians, you should also be extremely diligent and watch out for passing vehicles. It's a great time to kick off the autumn travel season with Colorado Byways Road Trip Weekend from September 27th through September 29th. That weekend aligns with the National Public Lands Day on September 28th. Next up, we have a look at some upcoming outdoor events. In September, October, and November, the Alamosa Bicycle Working Group will host 3 bicycle and walk audits. These audits are a community process that involves observing and documenting how safe, bikeable, and walkable a location is. The goal is to improve the safety and accessibility of a community's streets and paths for all users, including pedestrians. Audits can also involve documenting unsafe behaviors or conditions and identifying concerns for pedestrians and bicyclists. Here are the dates and locations for the 3 audits. On September 23rd, from from 5 to 7 p.m. The audit will start and end at Boyd Park, 410 12th Street. On October 10th, from 9 to 11 a.m., the audit will start and end at the Rio Grande Farm Park at 6935 Colorado Highway 17. And on November 12th, from 2 to 4 p.m., the audit will start and end at the State Avenue River Trail Access, 6901 North River Road. Saturday, September 21st, is the 21st annual Stephanie L. Miner Walk and Run. The event will start and end at Cole Park in Alamosa. This annual event features a 1 mile healthy walk, 2.5 mile, and 5K run. All proceeds raised benefit the MRI Enhancement Project at San Luis Valley Health. You can register at runsignup.com and search in the Find Race tab Stephanie L. Miner 5K. It is $33 to register. San Luis Valley Great Outdoors is hosting an outdoor mountain bike group ride on Tuesday, September 24th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. The bike ride will be at Alamosa's Riparian Park. That ends this episode of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. The Outdoor Citizen is supported by SLV Go and is produced and edited by Owen Woods. If you have an outdoor adventure you'd like to share, or if there are topics you'd like to hear in a future episode, please send an email to info@alamosacitizen.com. And again, we want to thank Don Richmond for his song Sea Turtle and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. This is Marty Jones, thanking you for listening to The Outdoor Citizen, and have a great time in the outdoors this fall.
San Luis Valley Great Outdoors is a proud sponsor of the Outdoor Citizen podcast, produced and published by AlamosaCitizen.com, where we bring outdoor stories to you. SLV Go builds pathways to connect. Whether building and maintaining trail systems across the San Luis Valley with the Great Outdoors Action Team, providing inclusive opportunities for families in the outdoors with SLV Generation Wild, jumpstarting community coalitions that turn ideas into reality, leading community adventures with the Embajadores, and holding space for conversation around the balance of conservation and recreation. SLV Go has a mission to provide residents and visitors throughout the San Luis Valley with accessible and inclusive outdoor recreation opportunities that balance conservation, connect communities, improve wellness, encourage stewardship, and contributes to the economic vitality of the region. Don't forget to share your outdoor adventures with us via the Outdoor Field Report. Until next time, we will see you on the trails.